For you see, my little children, baby Nell has lately come from some far-off sunny elf land, to make this her future home, and so many things around her seem so hard to understand, for such people and their doings are not known in baby land. Now she catches at the sunbeam gleaming on the snowy floor. Then she coos in smiling wonder at the vines around the door, and the little, spotted kitten is a source of great delight to our charming baby Nelly, a winsome baby, sweet and bright. Through her tiny lips so rosy peeps one tooth as white as milk, and her sunny, golden tresses are as soft as finest silk, with her dimpled hands and fingers, and her little pink-white toes, she is just the fairest creature, sweet and pure as any rose. Oh, she is our little darling, sent to us by God above, as a token of his goodness, as a symbol of his love, and we prize our tiny treasure, for an angel sure must dwell, undefiled and pure and spotless, in the form of baby Nell. A happy new year. New year has come. New year has come. Oh, children sweet and dear, and from our pleasant spirit home we've seen its face appear, 'tis fresh and clear, and full of smiles, and beaming o'er with mirth, 'tis bright with charming little wiles, to please old Mother Earth. I know its happy hours dawn in sunbeams, sweet and mild, that bring a story, or a song, to every laughing child. I know its hands are full of love for children sweet and dear, it comes in gladness from above, this gentle, bright new year. Oh, it is full of work and play, to share with little boys and little girls, it comes your way, to bring you pleasant joys, and when you deeds of kindness show to others whom you meet, its hours with happiness will glow all pure and rich and sweet. New year has come. New year has come. Oh, meet it children, dear, with shouts of welcome to your home ere this happy, glad new year. Oh, smile upon it with your love, and make its life more sweet to it as an angel from above to guide your little feet. Snowdrops. Beneath the coverlet of snow, two little flowers learn to grow. Their cheeks are pale and white and fair, their lips are sweet as summer air. At first they shiver in the cold, then grow more fearless, calm and bold, to push aside the snowy sheet and lift their faces pure and sweet. One to the other gently speaks, as March winds blanch her tender cheeks, "Dear sister, it is cold today, but yet I think we here may stay. The earth is bleak, and dark and chill, all other flowers are sleeping still, but well remain a while to sing in token of the coming spring." The sister softly makes reply, "Well bloom together, you and I, and send our choicest perfume out to gladden mortals round about. I'm sure they must be weary now of winter's dismal, icy brow, and longing for the breath of flowers, so we will stay and offer ours." And so the dainty blossoms braved the snow and sleet, and only craved a tiny place to fill with bloom, and scatter forth their rich perfume, and many hearts that yearned for spring, and all the beauties she would bring, gave blessing to the little flowers, as heralds of her fragrant hours. An evening song. Rest, rest sweet hours of the day, your moments, filled with toil and play, have wandered far since morning's sun, but now their journeyings are done. Rest, precious hours, bright and fair, let no rude touch of pain and care disturb your well-earned calm repose. The world its friendship to you owes. Hail, peaceful hours of the night attended by yon stars so bright, you come with quiet steps to earth, and silent tones of woe or mirth, we give you welcome, for you bring the balm of sleep upon your wing, with which to touch our weary eyes until all sense of weakness flies. Oh, we are little children small, and yet we love the hours all, are those of the bright and shining day that fly in happiness away, and those that wander through the night to give us visions of delight, and show us in each pleasant dream the world where heavenly mansions gleam. Children. Everywhere we hear the voices of the children, glad and free, shouting, chatting, laughing, talking, ringing out in merry glee. Everywhere we hear the patter of their busy little feet, romping over hills and meadows, rushing through the city street. Everywhere we see the faces of those little girls and boys, who, in spite of care and trial, Are their parents' sweetest joys, boys and girls that in the future will be men and women too, rulers of the sunny nation, bright and active, grand and true. Little children, as you wander in your happy, careless moods, through the snowy streets of winter, or the pleasant summer woods, as you feel that in the future, when to manhood you have grown, you will seek for truth and wisdom, seek to gain them for your own. Little children, pray remember that the love that holds you fast, burning in your parents' bosoms, will endure until the last. Seek to pay it back in kindness, gentle smiles and loving words, which will echo in their hearing sweeter than the songs of birds. Little children, live in blessing others with a word or smile, and the angel friends above you will protect you all the while. Live by love and gentle kindness, then the world will better grow, and rejoice that little people such as you may dwell below. Snowflakes. Softly falls the spotless snow, flakes are flying everywhere, like as many white-winged birds speeding through the silent air, down and down to earth they come, full of mercy, full of love, sent upon their mission forth, by our Father God above. How they weave a garment bright, as they come in thickening crowds, weave a garment soft and light, white and fleecy as the clouds. Over all the fields it spreads, tucking all the flowers in, hushing them to sleep in beds, far removed from earthly din. Thick and fast the snowflakes fly, giving every girl and boy, as they watch them flutter by, glimpses of delight and joy. How they cover all the earth, brown and gloomy, up from sight, how they deck each leafless tree with a garment fresh and white. Oh, we love the downy snow, 'tis a messenger of love, sent to grace the world below by our God who reigns above, sent to keep the flowers warm till the wintry storms are o'er, and to gladden youthful hearts with their beauty evermore. Chapter 16. 16 A Story for the Children. In the outskirts of a large city, a little way out in the cool and pleasant country, there stands a little one-story house, which was once painted a light yellow, but which time and storm have turned to a dull, brown color. A little plot of ground attached, shaded by one noble oak tree, seemed turned into a perfect fairy bower of red and gold and green and purple, when summer suns shone down upon its beds of blooming 4 o'clocks, cupses, and larkspurs, in their setting of dainty foliage. All day long, the birds warbled or twittered to each other in the treetop, where a nest of young robins was safely hidden from the prying eyes of two curious schoolboys. Such stores of wonderful seeds, buds, and flowers did these birds know of at a no distant place, such cherries and berries, which they could enjoy to their heart's content, after carefully providing for their half-famished young. But of all the delightful spots these joyful birds had visited, not one seemed so suitable for their home as the plumy tops of this old oak tree, which cast its genial shade over the little old brown house, and here a nest was built, 5 little, spotted eggs were carefully covered up by the mother bird, which by and by burst open and disclosed 5 little hungry bills, wide apart, gasping for food. What a happy summer was this! Father Robin bustling about, looking very important, bringing a dainty worm or toothsome berry to feed his children upon, or perching upon the topmost bough of the tree, and filling the air with the music of his joyful songs, while the dainty, careful mother, prudent Mrs. Jenny, anxiously watched her little ones, lest some harm should come to them, or talked to them in her quaint bird fashion, with now and then a little chirp of encouragement, when one would attempt to try its wings for a tiny flight amid the leaves. But I have something to tell you about the inmates of the little old brown house, which contained 2 tiny rooms, a kitchen and a bedroom. The floors of these rooms were always white and shining, pretty pink curtains hung at the windows, a few chairs, a table and a little stove were in the outer room, while the inner apartment contained a neat, white bed, a stand, and one chair. But 2 persons lived in this little home, a pale, delicate woman, who was stitching her life away by constant sewing, for she made cheap clothing for a firm in the big city, and a little girl about 6 years old. This little girl had bright blue eyes, and brown, curling hair, her name was Fanny, and she lived here alone with her dear mama. Fanny's papa had been in the spirit world for 3 years, and her mama was obliged to do the sewing in order to earn bread and shelter for herself and little one. Little Fanny used to help her dear mama by threading needles, sewing tags on the work, A tags are tickets with the number of the garment written on them, A and picking up the litter on the floor. Fanny Davis was a very happy little girl. She had but few toys, and these were old, nearly worn out playthings, which had seen better days, but she loved to play in the little garden, and watch the flowers, pulling out old weeds and picking the flower seeds as they ripened. She would listen to the birds for hours, and talk to them in her childish way. They were her companions, for she had no playmates, and it was a happy summer for this little girl when the robins built their nest in the old tree. But, alas, a terrible storm of wind and rain came one night, and brought disaster to the birdie's home. The nest became detached from its fastenings and fell, catching upon a lower branch of the tree. The old birds were not harmed, but two of their young ones were killed, and another was lying on the ground with a broken wing. In this condition little Fanny found them in the morning, when the storm had disappeared and the sun was shining bright. Poor little thing! How she cried as she buried the two tiny birds in the garden, and placed a handful of her choicest flowers upon their grave. The little wounded bird she carried into the house, her mother tied up its broken wing with a cotton string, and fed it with breadcrumbs. Fanny made a little, soft nest for the bird from some pieces of old linen, and kept it until it was strong and well, when she let it go again out into the bright world to find its parents, its two brother birdies, and its nest repaired and straightened in the old tree. But something really wonderful, so it appeared to the little girl, happened. While the poor little bird had remained a wounded prisoner under Fanny's care, it had become very tame and would eat its food from her hand, and now that it had grown strong and well, the little girl felt sad at losing her friend, for she felt that she could no longer keep him and pet and feed him as she once did. But I think little birds are grateful creatures, they do not forget a kindness. In the warm summer weather Mrs. Davis always left the window open at night, that fresh air might enter her dwelling, and you may judge of Fanny's delight to find her little bird entering the house every morning. He would perch upon her shoulder, eat seeds or crumbs from her mouth and hand, and chirp and warble his little songs to her in an ecstasy of glee. Every morning regularly did this occur, the bird would enter the open window, remain about half an hour to delight his benefactress, and then soar away to his home on the treetop, or to other pleasant places in the neighborhood. One bright, pleasant day in August, as little Fanny sat playing with her flowers and pebbles in the garden, she espied the face of a little boy, framed in by a mass of sunny brown hair, and half covered as if from shyness with a white straw hat, bound with a bright blue ribbon, upon the other side of the fence. The stranger was peeping at her with sparkling, roguish brown eyes, and seemed half inclined to speak. Springing from the ground, Fanny opened the gate and called, "Would you like to come in here and see my flowers, little boy?" The stranger smiled and advanced, and in a few minutes was chatting with our little girl as though he had always known her. He told her his name was Franklin Hedge, that he lived in a beautiful, large, white house ever so far away, and the ever so far was about 2 miles farther into the country, A, that he had a dear mama, and a splendid papa, with big, black whiskers, that he had no brothers and sisters, but he guessed God was going to bring him a little sister soon, cause he had asked for one so many times, that he had horses and carriages and playthings, and the biggest garden, with all kinds of flowers growing in it. He was out riding with his teacher today, and his teacher had let him play outside while she went into a house to see a sick friend. It was only a little ways off, and he had strayed this way while waiting for her. To all this Fanny listened with breathless delight. She had never seen such wonderful things as this little boy said he owned. He looked so cool and pretty in his spotless white suit, and seemed so kind, so different from the boys she had seen throwing stones, that he seemed like an angel from another world. For an hour these two children chatted and played in the garden, Fanny showing Frankie how to make necklaces of flowers and stems, and Frankie initiating Fanny into some of the mysteries of boyish games. Once, Mrs. Davis called to know who Fanny was playing with, but the little girl satisfied her mother about that, and returned to her new friend, bringing a glass of fresh milk which he drank with much enjoyment. But all pleasant things seemed to have an end on earth, and pretty soon these friends were called upon to part. A carriage, drawn by a sleek white horse, and driven by a lady, appeared coming up the road. Frankie recognized his teacher, who was looking anxiously up and down the road, and kissing Fanny Davis goodbye, ran out to meet her. He was lifted into the carriage, and in a few moments whirled from sight. For many long weeks after this day, Fanny talked constantly of her little friend Frankie, and wondered when he would come to see her again, but the weeks deepened into months, the flowers drooped their heads and withered away, leaving only dry, brown seeds, which the little girl carefully gathered and laid away. The leaves drifted from the old oak tree, leaving the branches brown and bare. The robin's nest was deserted, for all the birds had flown away to a sunnier, warmer clime, to spend the winter, and still Frankie did not come. Fanny could not play out in the garden now, except for a little while on the sunniest days. She missed the morning greeting of her little pet robin sadly, but she liked to think of him as happy in some warmer place, and to look forward to the coming spring, when he would return to the old tree. Mrs. Davis had been growing paler and thinner all summer, a bad cough frequently racked her frame, and distressing pains in the side gave her great uneasiness. It was now a difficult task to carry her work to and fro to the shop in the city, yet she felt it must be done, and there was no one to do it but herself. Upon the scanty proceeds of her toil depended the existence of herself and little one. For herself she did not mind so much, but for her little girl she was all anxiety. A kind-hearted doctor, who lived in the vicinity of the little old brown house, called in occasionally, leaving some dark mixture in a bottle, which the patient woman took with the hope of gaining strength, but the days and weeks flew by, bringing but little relief. Winter was almost at hand. Mrs. Davis had been unable to provide for its approach, and she knew not what to do. At last she had been forced to give up her work. She had but a little wood, flour, and meal in the house. The snow came drifting down, at first very slowly, but soon increased in rapidity, until at last the ground was covered with a carpet so pure and spotless and clear that even angel feet might tread upon it, yet bitterly cold and uncomfortable to the poor, bare, suffering feet of those mortals who are without clothing and fire. Down, down came the feathery snow, darkness fell upon the silent house, little Fanny crept to her mother's side beneath the bed covering, and was clasped in her tender arms. Sweet sleep visited the child, but none came to bless the weary eyes of the dying mother, for now the poor woman knew the truth, her hours on earth were numbered. Oh! How she prayed for the good doctor to come and visit her, but he was far away by the side of another sick and suffering one, and knew not of her desire. Only one thought possessed the mind of the sleepless woman, at the future welfare of her little girl. If she could be satisfied of this, she would be content to pass to the spirit world, where she knew her dear husband was waiting to welcome her. The storm passed with the night, the morning sun shone upon the snow-covered home of our friends, and streamed in upon a little group gathered around the bed of Mrs. Davis, little Fanny weeping pitifully, and clinging to the cold, lifeless hand of that form that had once contained the spirit of her mother, the good, kind doctor, whom I have spoken of, and a beautiful lady robed in mourning garments, with a face as pale as the face of the dead. Mrs. Davis had passed away peacefully, for the doctor had assured her that her little one should be taken care of. He was now preparing to leave, to send someone to look after the house, and prepare for the funeral service of the departed. You will remember the little boy, Frankie Hedge, who spent a pleasant hour in the garden of the little brown house, one sunny summer day, in company with little Fanny. Well, Frankie had not forgotten his little playmate of an hour. Many times would he speak of her to his mama and papa, And they had promised him that when he returned from the seaside, where he was going with them for a few weeks, he should again see the little girl he had taken such a liking to. But, alas, Frankie Hedge, who went to the seaside a strong and happy boy of 8 years, returned at the end of 6 weeks a pale and helpless invalid. Frequent bailing in the ocean spray, and remaining in the water too long at a time, weakened his constitution to such a degree that when a chill seized him one cloudy morning, while splashing about with his companions in the water, it was with the utmost difficulty he was brought to land in a senseless condition. From that time he weakened and pined away. All that human love or physician's skill could do was done, but without avail. And now, when the December winds howled about the splendid residence of his father, he lay panting and moaning, his face as white as the snowy pillows upon which it rested, and his eyes grown large and sorrowful, seeking rest and strength from the gentle face of his mother, who bent above him. Often, in his hours of illness, had he spoken to his parents of little Fanny Davis, telling of the many fine times he meant to have with her when he got well, but now he knew he should never get stronger in this world, and so it was that on this cold December evening, when the snow was flying thick and fast without, and the gentle, subdued light of the sick chamber fell upon the costly furniture, the rosy curtains, the silver ornaments of the mantel, lighting them up with a mellow glow, and shining upon the pallid faces of the anxious parents, Frankie entreated his mother to go for Fanny Davis, and bring her to him. Kind Dr. May, who was in attendance, said he knew the little girl and her poor, sick mama, and he would go for her himself. But this would not do. Nothing would pacify the sick child until his mother promised that in the morning she would go in the sleigh with the good doctor, find Fanny, and bring her to Frankie's side. Oh, I am so glad, mama, said the child. There is a nice, tall man here, and he is so glad too. I saw him that day in the garden where Fanny lives. He told me he was Fanny's father. He says pretty soon Fanny will have no mama on earth. Do bring her here, mama, and perhaps when she has no mama, and you have no little boy, she will be your little girl, and stay with you forever, cause I will be with the angels, but I will come to see you sometimes. After this the child fell asleep, and in the morning, when the sun was shining on the freshly fallen snow, Mrs. Hedge was taken in the doctor's sleigh to the home of Fanny Davis, and that is how they found the dying woman and the weeping child. Kind, gentle Mrs. Hedge found it impossible to persuade little Fanny to leave her mother's side, so after the spirit of the suffering woman had passed peacefully away, she was obliged to return to her home, leaving the little girl in charge of a good woman whom the doctor had found to remain with and care for her, until after the funeral of the body of Mrs. Davis, for it is only the body, dear children, that has to be laid away from sight, the real person lives, and is not cold and senseless, but if he or she has been good, happiness is theirs, and they find a beautiful, sweet home in company with their dear friends. Mrs. Davis had met her dear husband and parents, and found a bright home awaiting her, but she had not forsaken nor forgotten her little girl, who was left on the earth seemingly alone. Frankie Hedge expressed no feeling of disappointment when his mother returned without Fanny. "I knew she wouldn't come," said he to her as she entered the room, after removing her rich cloak and furs. "I told Papa she wouldn't come. I saw her papa again a few moments ago, and there was a lady with him with such a sweet, pretty face. It made me think of you, mama, it looked so kind and good, and then I knew Fanny's mama was dead and that was her." Mrs. Hedge kissed her little boy, and said she thought Fanny would come by and by, after the funeral of her mother's body. "Oh, yes, she will come, mama, her papa told me so, and I can wait, because I'm not going to leave you for some time yet. I saw dear grandma last night, and she kissed me and said, 'Eh, not till the March winds blow, my lamb, will we be ready to take you to our spirit home.'" The eyes of the listening parents filled with tears. They knew their darling was traveling fast to the summerland, yet they did not grieve as some people grieve when their loved ones pass away, for they knew he could come back to them. They did not think he was dreaming, as the doctor did, when he talked of seeing Fanny's papa and his own grandma, because they knew the angels are ever around striving to make their presence known to their friends. In 3 days Fanny Davis was brought to the home of Frankie Hedge. Poor little thing. How her eyes lighted up at the sight of the little boy waiting anxiously to receive her. What an affectionate meeting was this. You would have thought it a meeting between a long-lost brother and sister, but the angels knew and understood. Both children had changed since that long past summer day when they met and parted. For while Frankie had grown pale and wan from pain and weakness, Fanny had lost her rosy cheeks and sparkling eyes from long confinement and grief from the illness and death of her mother. Nothing would satisfy Frankie Hedge now but a promise that Fanny should stay with him while he remained in the body, and this desire was granted. Sorrow of her own had filled the heart of Mrs. Hedge with pity and sympathy, which soon grew into love for the little orphan, and Mr. Hedge, who declared Fanny looked very much like a little sister of his who passed away many years ago, took her into his heart at once. A little room, opening off the hall where Frankie's chamber was situated, was fitted up for little Fanny. A beautiful carpet of blue ground, with white lilies strewn upon it, covered the floor, a tiny bed of spotless linen and lace, pretty furniture of blue and white, a few pretty pictures upon the pink-tinted walls, and blue and white curtains at the window, completed the furnishing of the room. This apartment was a continued charm to our little girl. Never in her life had she beheld anything so beautiful, and she would sometimes hold her breath and pinch her arm, to see if she was not dreaming. Mrs. Hedge had undertaken also to clothe the child, not in somber garments of black, but in dainty dresses of creamy white cashmere, which filled her spirit with delight, and made her wish for her mama to come back and see her. The two children were constant companions now during the day, save when Fanny was absent at her meals, or taken out for an airing by Frankie's governess. Dr. May declared Frankie very much improved since Fanny came, and Mr. and Mrs. Hedge began to hope that health and strength would soon return to him. What famous times the children had together! Frankie possessed numerous toys and picture books, which were a source of never-failing delight to the little girl. Besides, he would tell her of the places where he had been, and things he had seen, until her little eyes would grow round with wonder and pleasure. But best of all would she love to listen to him, as he told of the visits of her mamma and papa, and his own grandmamma to his bedside, and what they said to him, and she would wish, oh, so much, that she could see and hear them too, and it made her very happy to learn that her mamma and papa were happy in a sweet home, and they came back every day to Frankie, to send their love to their little girl. So time sped rapidly away, and it was soon the 1st of February. The clear, white frost covered the ground, which shone in the beautiful sunlight of morning, or the glittering moonlight of evening, like countless sparks of brilliant light. All was fair, calm, and serene. Within doors it was the same, not a breath of discord, not a ripple of inharmony came to disturb the quiet peace of that little household. A beautiful cabinet organ stood in the recess of Frankie's room, and sometimes, when the twilight fell, the little boy would ask his mama not to have the gas lighted, but to play on the organ, and as the quiet shadows of early evening fell, the good lady would play softly and sweetly to the listening ears of the delighted children. At this hour the presence of the angels became visible to Frankie, and he would talk with them, as though they were in the body. One evening, about the middle of the month, Mrs. Hedge sat in a large easy chair, holding her little boy in her lap. He had been very restless and uneasy all day, and to soothe him into quiet his mother had taken him in her arms. Little Fanny sat a short distance from them, her soft, blue eyes fixed in a dreamy gaze. Mr. Hedge had just come in, and stood looking sadly down upon his suffering child. Suddenly, Fanny arose, passed to the organ, seated herself upon the stool, and began running her fingers over the keys, producing a soft, sweet melody. Presently she began to sing a beautiful song, still playing an accompaniment to the words. Frankie's parents were astonished beyond measure, even while delighted at this wonderful performance of the little girl, who had never played a note upon any musical instrument in her life, but the little boy himself viewed the scene with calmness and pleasure. Afterward, he told them all that he had seen a beautiful lady touch Fanny by the hand, lead her to the organ, and guide her fingers over the keys.